He no longer liked to sit and cuddle with her unless he was sick or wanted her to read him a story before bed. It seemed impossible that he had ever been this small. Impossible that he'd grown into a boy with a red tricycle who thrust sticks into puddles and sang so beautifully.
"She's 10 months today," Kay said. "Can you believe it?"
"No," Nora said. "Time goes so fast."
"Have you been down by the campus?" Kay asked. "Have you heard what's happening?"
Nora nodded.
"Bree called last night."
She'd stood, the phone in one hand and the other on her heart, watching grainy news on TV. 4 students shot dead at Kent State. Even in Lexington, tension had been building for weeks, the newspapers full of war and protests and unrest, the world volatile and shifting.
"It's scary," Kay said.
But her tone was calm, more disapproving than dismayed, the same voice she might have used to talk about someone's divorce. She took Angela, kissed her forehead, and put her gently back into the carriage.
"I know," Nora agreed.
She used the same tone, but to her, the unrest seemed deeply personal, a reflection of what had been going on within her heart for years. For a moment, she felt another sharp, deep pang of envy. Kay lived in innocence, untouched by loss, believing that she would always be safe. Nora's world had changed when Phoebe died. All her joys were set into stark relief by that loss and by the possibility of further loss she now glimpsed in every moment. David was always telling her to relax, to hire help, not to push herself so hard. He grew irritated with her projects, her committees, her plans. But Nora could not sit still. It made her too uneasy. So she arranged meetings and filled up her days, always with the desperate sense that if she let down her guard even for a moment, disaster would follow. The feeling was worst in the late morning. She almost always had a quick drink then, gin, sometimes vodka, to ease her into the afternoon. She loved the calm spreading through her like light. She kept the bottles carefully hidden from David.
"Anyway," Kay was saying, "I wanted to RSVP about your party. We'd love to come, but we'll be a little late. Is there anything I can bring?"
"Just yourselves," Nora said. "Everything's almost ready, except I have to go home and take down a wasp's nest." Kay's eyes widened slightly. She was from an old Lexington family and had people, as she called them. Pool people and cleaning people and lawn people and kitchen people. David always said Lexington was like the limestone on which it was built. Layers of stratification, nuances of being and belonging, your place in the hierarchy fixed in stone long ago. No doubt Kay had insect people, too.
"A wasp's nest? Poor you."
"Yes," Nora said. "Paper wasps. The nest is hanging off the garage."